Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I am your handicapped host, James Cox. I have an exciting interview for you today. If you heard of the Dillinger Escape Plan or his role or any of those bands I just mentioned, you know of this guy. He is Jeff Tuttle, and he is here on the show. Jeff, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you doing?
Doing great, man.
Good.
Thanks
good.
For having me.
Good. Yes. So, so when I was researching you, I learned that you are from, I think it said you are from Michigan.
Correct.
But site said that you were from Boston, Massachusetts.
I've never lived in Boston.
Okay. So that's false.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well,
at least I don't think I've ever lived in Boston.
I've been around the world, but like I lived in the Philippines and Florida and Virginia, so I don't remember all the places I visited either. But you might have visited, you know. I don't know. Yeah, and somebody just said, "Hey, you live in Boston," you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
you never know.
That's right. So
somebody's stolen my identity.
We don't want that to happen. No, sir. Yeah, right. So, I was also looking at your Wikipedia, you know, because when you're on Wikipedia, you're famous. Okay,
so I
plan to be on Wikipedia soon. But I found a little false tidbit here that I want you to correct for me. You know whether this is true or not. Okay.
Okay.
It said that in 2011. You founded the post-hardcore band Old Gods, which I guess is true because, okay, so I read it wrong. I thought it said that his role formed in 2011, but his role were formed back in 2001-ish?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So, okay. Yeah, around there. Yeah, yep, and then Old Gods. Yeah, that's true. Around 2011.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's user error. I can't read sometimes, but that's okay. We all have mistakes, you know. Okay.
Sure. Absolutely.
So let's talk about your new band that I think you formed the band in 2019 as I'm reading it.
Yeah. Yep. Around there.
Yes. All right. So Shock Narcotic. Yep. I listened to it and it's very, very good. A lot of fast songs because most songs are under like a minute or two, which is great because, you know, I mean, it's metal. Metal's supposed to be rough and angry sometimes, you know. But would you say that this is a like a super group? Because you have members from Child Bite, Black Dahlia Murder, and Battlecross. Would you consider yourself like a super group?
You know, we've never used that label before, you know, because to us, you know, we're just all a bunch of guys that happen to live near each other and we play music, you know?
Yeah.
So that idea never, that's never like really been part of our journey.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And honestly, I think a lot of times if you go into forming a band as a super group, I think a lot of times they fall flat because it becomes more about individuals performing together rather than everybody performing as a unit, you know?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So in future for me, is a term supergroup like not a nice thing to say to people because I don't want to offend anybody.
Oh no! I mean, there's plenty of people that have the idea. I mean, and certainly, I like the idea of a super group.
Right.
I mean, really, at this point, you could consider like Pantera a super group, right? Because you've got,
yeah,
you know, all respect to Dimebag and Vinny, but you know, you've got Charlie Benante and you've got Zakk Wylde with Rex and Phil. You know, that is, I mean, that's a super group to that's me that works,
right? Yeah,
because they do, they work as a unit, you know, even though Zakk Wylde has such a huge personality and he's got such a distinct style, he steps into those shoes and just does it justice. And same with Charlie. Yeah. He doesn't come in there and say like, well, this is how I would play Pantera if I was in Pantera. Right. He's like, nope, these are the songs. I want to do justice to Vinny, and it just works, man. I think they're out there killing it every night.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Zakk Wylde definitely earns the role as the guitarist, because who better can play guitar by himself than Zakk, you know?
Yeah. I don't know that anybody else could have stepped into those shoes, really.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people are calling them like a tribute band, which I can understand, but at the same time, it's like, come on, man, you can't focus on that alone, you know?
Sure. And I think it was Zakk that had gone on record, because, you know, of course people are going to ask, you know, if they plan to write new music as Pantera. And he said that, I think he said the only way that he would is if they named the band something else.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he's like, I'm not going to try to pretend like I'm in Pantera. You know, this is great to come out here and, you know, let some of these people, like the younger fans and even the older fans, to relive these songs again, to give them that opportunity. But as far as moving forward, yeah, it's nice that he respects Pantera as much to say, like, you know, if we're going to do something together, it's got to be something completely new, and we're going to call it something else.
Right. So my next question is totally on Chalk Dark Arctic 2, but I do want to go through your old bands as well, because this question applies to your old bands, okay? So we're going to see if we can get this right. Heads Will Roll was your first band, right? And then Capture the Flag, right?
And then Capture the Flag actually came first.
Okay.
That was my band. I started playing with them. Man, that was probably like early high school. I mean, we're talking years and years ago.
Yeah.
Right. That was the first like real band that I ever played in. And Heads Will Roll came next.
Okay.
Yep.
And then it says you were in Hyatt, Hyatt, as like a demo. It says only demo.
Yeah. You know, okay. No. That was probably like late 90s, early 2000s ish.
99. It says
sounds about right. Sounds about right.
And then of course we all know Dillinger Escape Plan. The only one you played on was Operation Perilous, right? Paralysis? Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah. Then you got, you know, and now you got this Extreme Monster in Shark Narcotic, you know?
That's so right.
With you having all these bands and different sounds between all of them, okay, what was the idea for you to bring it to Shark Narcotic as opposed to Heads Will Roll or Capture the Flag?
You know, a band like Shock Narcotic, I've never had the opportunity to really write like that style of music. And it's something that, I mean, I've been a fan of heavy music since I was a little kid, you know?
Yeah.
And being a part of Dillinger was, you know, definitely, you know, we're obviously playing some some really heavy, interesting riffs. But at the end of the day, I didn't have a part in the songwriting, you know.
Okay.
And I really wanted that opportunity to see what I could do in that style of music. So that was really the main attraction for me going into this band.
Yeah, as a songwriter, right?
Yes.
So there's Sean, the vocalist, Sean Knight. So do you get together with Sean, or like since you write the lyrics, and he's the singer, do y'all collaborate at the same time, or does he bring stuff to you and say, hey, how about this, or you know, I mean, how does that friendship work?
Yeah, I think we figured out early on that the best workflow would be for me to write the music, and then Sean does his thing with the vocals, and then Don and Zach on the first record, and then Adam on the second record, that, you know, they bring their own individuality to the different parts and the different instruments.
Yeah. That's always a good unique kind of vibe with each other. Okay. Yeah. So that's awesome. So let's do this. Let's do some fun questions. Okay.
Okay.
Imagine Shark Narcotic. There's a middle era time machine tour slot. Okay. Your time machine tour slot. Okay. What genre or time period would you pick in to crash in, and why? You know, I mean, like of all eras, which would be the best era for Shark Narcotic to, you know?
Well, you've seen Back to the Future, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know,
when
Marty McFly plays Johnny B. Goode at the, you know, and he just like, no, he's like, you know, you guys aren't ready for this, but your kids are going to love it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even doing something like that would be fun. Taking a band like Shock Narcotic and going back to like the 40s or the 50s. And I mean, I think I don't even know what people would, if they'd be able to comprehend like what was going on.
Either all of them would be open mouth and like, what the hell is this? Awesome.
Yeah. So completely foreign to them. I mean, people already think that heavy music a lot of times is noise. Of course, you know, you and I know different, but taken completely out of context, I bet people would like, this is actual noise that you're doing, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But it would be fun, you know?
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that, because, I have an August Red shirt, and it says angry music for happy people. And that's true. You know, that's easily the sum of all metal music, you know, angry music for happy people, you know, not all of it's angry though, you know, I will say. So, in your whole career, okay, can you describe a moment where you accidentally meshed two totally different riffs together and it worked? Or, I mean, if you didn't, I mean.
So, wait, I'm sorry, you said when I had two different riffs that.
Right. Like you took one riff from one song and then combined them into, oh my God, this worked.
Well, you know what, man? I'm not sure that this qualifies, but what ended up happening with this new record is, and it's kind of been a phenomenon through the songwriting process with Shock Narcotic, is I will like, I'll have a riff that I really like. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, of course, one riff, you need a second riff.
Yeah.
So the second riff comes out and you're like, well, I like this second riff, but it doesn't really work with the first riff. So then I split them.
Yeah.
Now I got two riffs and then I got two songs, you know? So that kind of kept happening a lot of times where on one hand it was cool, because it's like, okay, now I have a handful of like six or seven potential songs,
right?
But at the same time, I'm like, I'm still trying to write the first song and I can't get it done.
Right.
But eventually it works itself out. I really believe that when you're creating something artistically to a large degree, the artistic process eventually will take hold and just kind of take over. And it just kind of like you get into this flow once you finally crack the code, and then stuff just starts pouring out. And that's pretty much what happened with the second record. Yeah. It was a long time of frustration of just kind of like, I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. Like, you know, one riff is one riff, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But you know, that one riff does not always make an entire song, you know? Mm-hmm. But once things start to kind of shape up and you can see the bigger picture, you can see how all the different riffs and the different songs kind of work together. And then your mind kind of almost goes back and backfills a little bit to say like, okay, now I can see this is the kind of riff we need for this part. You know, this is kind of, you know, maybe this next song is going to be where I thought it was going to be full on blast beats. It's going to be like a little bit of a mid-tempo groove, you know?
Right.
So it's, you know, because with art, you know, there's no rules.
No.
There's no rules. And the opportunities and the potential is infinite, you know? It can be anything, and it can be everything, or it can be nothing.
Right.
Which can be infuriating sometimes, but then at the same time, once you finally like reach in and you pull something out of that infinite abyss, it's that much more satisfying, because you feel like you've cracked
the code or something, right?
Cracked the source code, yeah, and pulled something out of nothing, you know,
right. Yeah, those songs that you said you had a hard time finishing, is that lyrically or instrumentally? You know,
instrumentally. Okay. Sean writes all of the lyrics.
Okay.
And I got to imagine he has a similar experience to a certain degree.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah.
All for me related to guitar.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So those riffs that you that are on album, and the ones that you can't finish, you know, yet, I guess it's just a spur of inspiration, or like, okay, well, this sounds cool in my head. Why don't I try this? Like, you know, play it live and see how it did. I mean, like where do you find the inspiration for finishing one riff if you can't think of it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a lot of playing riff one and then just letting my fingers go where they want to go.
Yeah.
And then sitting back and say, well, no, that didn't work.
Right.
You try again. You're like, no, I don't like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Until you've done it 1,000 times and you're like, that's the one.
That's it, man. Yeah. Yes. Like, I did it. Yes. It works. You know? So, this question goes along with the lyric writing too. So what's one lyric that you're most proud of that fans haven't caught the deeper meaning in?
Well, like I was saying, Sean like writes the lyrics. Yeah. But from my vantage point, I think Oblivion Liquor, which we ended up doing the music video for, I think we both chose that as the single for this record because lyrically and thematically we both felt it was really strong and relatable and appropriate for the times, you know. There's a lot of stuff happening in the world right now.
Yeah.
Some of it good, a lot of it not so good.
Right.
So, you know, it a lot of times, you know, it feels like that oblivion is just constantly in your face, you know, but what are your choices? You know, you either give in or you keep moving. Right.
That's right.
So as dark as a lot of our themes are for this band, there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, absolutely.
It might not be the brightest light on earth, but it's still there. You know?
Yeah, you always push forward, you know.
Yeah.
Never know who you're going to inspire later on in life, you know.
So absolutely.
Why not move on, you know. So, all right, so we do have three questions, because I know we're running out of time, and I thank you so deeply for coming on the show. So let's do another fun one, okay?
Sure.
When you need to unplug and wind down, okay, and reset your brain, what is a non-musical hobby, or should we say ritual, that you do to actually wind down? And I mean, is it like going to sleep or something, just simple as that? Or I mean, like what, you know?
Well, I love movies.
Yeah,
I've been a big fan of movies for a very long time. Specifically, I love horror movies, so. Yeah, definitely love to wind down by either watching like a classic Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Evil Dead is easily my favorite horror movie of all time.
All right. Evil Dead poster.
And that's an original poster.
Have you met Bruce Campbell at all?
You know what? Actually, I haven't. As many times as he's done like the conventions and stuff, I've never had the opportunity to meet him. I would really love to, because I understand he doesn't take crap from people, and
right. Yeah.
He'll give it right back to you.
There you go. Yeah. I met him one time and it was really, really fast, so I didn't really get to talk to him. You know, I just took one picture of him and thank you for his time, and then got out of there because his line was super long. You know, I didn't want to, you know, so he's always a good guy, you know. Very funny, that guy too, you know. But yeah, you're right. He does hand you your ass if you give it to him, for sure. So, okay, so let's do this. So we're going to do like a Mount Rushmore of your favorite bands. Okay,
oof.
You have four of them. Only four. We can do five if you want to. You know.
Okay.
Let's try to do four. So who would be on your Mount Rushmore right now? Okay.
So I got to put Faith No More on there.
Great.
Faith No More was my gateway into heavy music, so they will always and forever be at the top of the list for me. I'm gonna put Meshuggah on there.
I love Meshuggah. Yeah,
Meshuggah too. I'm gonna put the Mahavishnu Orchestra on there.
Okay,
you familiar?
I am not. I need to look
it up. They are from the 70s. And the band leader, John McLaughlin, he is considered like the godfather of jazz fusion.
Mm.
So he was one of the first guys to say, like, let's play jazz type riffs with rock sensibility and volume.
Yeah.
So whereas like a lot of times jazz music is considered like, or is performed like, you know, you know, quieter, it's a little bit more reserved. He was like, no, we're going to play full stacks. We're going to turn them up to 11 and we're going to play as fast as we can.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that in my writing, and there, you know, John McLaughlin is one of my heroes. So we got one more.
Yes. One more.
I'm going to be completely honest with you, man. I'm a huge Sleep Token fan.
Yes, I found one that like Sleep Token. Nobody I know like Sleep Token. I don't know why.
Really?
They're really, really great.
Well, now I got to show you this. I keep these out at all times.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
So, yeah.
That's one band that I really, really want to see live one day. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. I know they're kind of a line in the sand for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people are like, they're not a true metal band or whatever. And it's like, I don't care if they're a metal band. I like their music.
Well, technically, they borderline metal with a little bit of other flavors in it.
They do.
I mean, it's so good.
Yeah. They balance out, you know, the most beautiful melodic parts with some of the heaviest riffs that I've ever heard in my life. And it, you know, the reason I like them so much is because that's a hard balance to strike. Because a lot of it just sounds forced, but
yeah.
I think they do a good job with it, and I'm not ashamed.
I'm not either. I love Fleet Foxes, man. Yeah. So we do honestly want to thank you for coming on, and I beg you to come back because I want to talk to you about a lot more stuff. Okay. And yeah. For all of my listeners, you can visit Shark Narcotic housecorerecords.com or do you have like an actual
Housecore Records, and then you can find us on Instagram,
right?
I think we're on Facebook. I honestly haven't used Facebook in like 10 years, so but I definitely know where you can find us. You can find us on Instagram
anywhere.
But
thank you so much for coming on, and yes, please come back because I have lots more to discuss with you. Okay.
Right on, man. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much, man. Yep. All right. You take care.
Yep, you too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.